If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, and it is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. More specifically today, we're talking about screens. I'm saying it in a very reserved way because, in all honesty, this is a topic even I mean... As you know, I struggle with lots of topics. I think that's the core, the root cause and reason for this show is my incapability to parent and my learning. So today, for me, it's an interesting topic to navigate is screen time with our children. We live in a world where it is impossible, literally impossible, to avoid screens. I'm sitting here in studio today and I'm surrounded by screens, in all honesty. There's no way. I've got five screens here around me. It's literally unavoidable. So we have this one side of where we need to prepare our children for the reality that is the world, being surrounded by screens. I myself struggle. And that's maybe, it's not even now limiting my children. Maybe this is going to be a good talk for me as well. I myself struggle to limit my screen time and my screen usage. And even my children, embarrassingly enough, have told me that, hey, mama, maybe you can put your phone away. Yes, they're at that age now. That sucks, actually. It's much nicer when they're babies and they can't tell you that. And makes the guilt slightly better. But that's the reality that we're sitting with, that we are living in a world where we are constantly surrounded by social media. I justify it by saying it's part of my work. Lots of my work happens on my phone. I have to work on a computer, all these things. So I have lots of justifications for my screen usage. But in the same breath, I know. I think this is also one of the reasons why I actually love running. It's because I've now started to take my phone with me on runs as well. I want to take pictures. Anyway, I should stop doing that. But this is, it's a break from that. And to kind of, give your mind as well, I guess, a little bit of a break. But today we are exploring this topic that touches every family. I want to say nearly every family, but I think it's every family. And if it's not touching you now, it's going to touch you eventually. So a lot of touching happening today. Social media, gaming, and screen time. How much is too much? When does fun turn into addiction? And most importantly, how can parents guide their children to use screens in a healthy and balanced way? Guide our children, guide ourselves. But more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about social media, games, and screen times, and addiction of that, actually. Where is that line? I'm a little bit afraid to get the answer to that. I have to personally say, but we're going to talk about that today. If you have experienced an excessive amount of screen time, or you're struggling with this topic with your own children, maybe with your own life, please do join in this conversation today. Please send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. It's 061-895-1019. We would love to have your input on this topic of screen times. How much time do you feel that you are spending too much time on a screen? Have you put limitations in to help you to manage your screen time. Do you have comments on this? What's like ideas or struggles that you've had? Please do share with us. We would love to hear from you and have your comments on this specific topic. But yeah, to help us unpack this today, we are speaking to Nicole van Niekerk, who's a registered counselor with years of experience with supporting families in navigating the digital world. Nicole has been on my show before, so please do go listen to the podcast that we've had before. This show and all of my shows are available on a podcast on HiFM.com for you to go listen to. Hello, Nicole. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Of course, I'm really great because we're talking about this. I'm good. I'm slightly nervous. I'm going to be honest. Because I feel like a little bit of introspection is going to be needed in this kind of conversation.
As is always needed.
Yeah, this time of the year, I feel it's not necessary. But let's start with the actual question of, can you explain to us what constitutes screen and social media addiction in children? And where is that line? What between normal usage and where it becomes inappropriate?
So we actually, there is not an official addiction listed as of yet. We only have an internet gaming disorder that is listed in the DSM-5. But ultimately it constitutes a pattern of excessive use. So when it starts to have an impact on your brain functioning, your daily life, your physical and your mental health, your school performance, and our relationships and our behavior. So when it has an impact on our family relationships and the way we communicate with others, when it has an impact on how we study, when we study, if we do our homework on time, if it increases our anxiety, depression, if it feels like we have a loss of control, and then also ultimately actually experiencing withdrawal symptoms if you are not allowed on your phone. Very much the same as with any other addiction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you've already touched on, because I mean, in previous talks that we've talked about other things where it is, and also like anxiety and those type of things, it's always the line becomes where it inhibits the normal functioning of your normal life. Then it is, and again, we are talking here also something that's unavoidable, because the reality is that we need to prepare our children. And to be honest, that's, I think, for as a parent, the scary part. I mean, maybe parents these days are better, but my first phone I only got when I was 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. So my whole childhood, I didn't have a cell phone, let alone, you know, when I started using the internet still had a sound to it. Yes,
too.
That's how old I am. So that's the type of things that we're sitting with. And again, we're always talking about this, is where we're feeling as parents at this day and age that, or we are entering a stage that our parents didn't experience before, because our kids are growing up in a different world than we grew up in. And our parents also felt that way. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and just with other things.
Just with other things in the end of the day. Again, if your grandparents and you feel you've felt that, send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And please share with us your experience with this daunting thing of this daunting world we're living in. But again, that normal functioning, I feel, when it comes to, is it interfering with your social life? But another aspect, a big part of my children's social life happens on their phone, happens through gaming, happens through that. So again, it's tricky to navigate. Is there a specific ages that are a little bit more vulnerable for this addiction?
So unfortunately, I cannot give specific ages. It's children. Children are vulnerable. They still have a developing prefrontal cortex, so they still engage in risk-seeking behaviors. They are looking for rewards, social media, gaming, instant rewards, instant dopamine release. There's a social validation that comes with online use and with social media that they instantly get once again. And then also, unfortunately, the algorithms of social media is engineered in such a way that it keeps us to keep on scrolling. We struggle to stop. And it literally plays on that thing with a child where they keep on wanting to see more
and
more.
But is it then that children are even more susceptible to this type of addiction than what we are as adults? Is that what you're saying? Is like children
Absolutely,
at a higher risk?
And that is why this is such a big problem, is because children is at such a high risk, because they do not yet understand the effects of it. They do not yet understand the what the possible outcome of
it. Oh, they're just really angry at me.
Yes.
For wanting to limit it. But I'm really specifically asking this because, again, I myself, I had to go renew my driver's license last week. Oh, one of those
always
like, no, and I mean, you kind of mentally prepare that you're going to be waiting in the end of the day. To be honest, I got it done within an hour. So I was already super impressed by the time it took me. So it wasn't too bad, but you kind of mentally prepare. And I was sitting there and there was obviously quite a lot of people around me and all of us who are adults, all on our phones. And I was just thinking also, after a while, I actually put my phone down and just looked around. More out of, I wanted to prove a point to myself that I could be bored for at least 5 minutes. Because that's a reality. It's like, we're never, ever bored anymore. We're constantly...
And that's so sad.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be sad by it or not.
It's incredible. And the thing is, with children, they need to be bored.
Yeah.
They need to be bored to develop creativity, to develop intellectual functioning. And by having screens there all the time, no one is bored anymore.
Yeah.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Hive M, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about screens, gaming, all those type of things. Screens is a lot of things, isn't it? Addiction, and how it clearly impacts a lot more on our children than what it does us, or in a big way. But I have big guns in again, as always. And Nicole van Niekerk, who's a registered counselor who deals with this all the time, is speaking with me about this. But again, as always, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any comments, tips, how you've dealt with this, or if you've experienced it, please do send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. Have you downloaded the Hive M app? If you haven't, you should, because you can access us and all of our content on the app and also through our website at hivem.com. So, Nicole, before we went to the ad break, we were talking about how children are more vulnerable in developing these kind of addictions. But what psychological or emotional factors actually contribute to children becoming addicted to screens and games?
So typical risk factors that we are looking at is children with ADHD or learning difficulties and children with anxiety, as it becomes a way for them to deal with the anxiety. We also look at loneliness or peer rejection, because they are being rejected by peers at school, so they find a faceless online community. And we also look at a lack of healthy routines. So if they don't have a specific time where they go to bed, a specific time where screens are off, screens that are, or phones that are being charged in the kitchen, in a common area, if that doesn't happen, that has an impact on their emotional health.
Oh, and I mean, you just saying that, I feel that in some ways it's also a little bit of a chicken and egg situation, where certain things can actually obviously add to the vulnerability of being more susceptible to become addicted to screens. But in the same breath, if you are excessively using the screens, it can add to your anxiety, depression, those type of things, the routines and schedules. Yeah. In all honesty, if I just think of Emmy, sometimes her, if she's on her phone, even listening to music or something, and listening to music is not just putting a CD on. I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, my kids know what a CD is, at least, because my husband's car is so old. It still has a front loader CD player. Not that we have any other CD player in the house. But anyway, how she completely loses track of time. Then I would tell her something and then I'm like, we need to go. And then she hasn't done it because she's been busy with something like that. So again, that kind of chicken and egg.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Situation of one can add to the other, but the other can also add to the one type of thing. But now, again, we live in a world, we're constantly surrounded by screens. It's inevitable. I mean, our school, and I don't think this is our kids do go to a private school, the German school, they don't go to a public school, but even public school these days often have like these interactive boards where they have a tendency to go into the direction of screens. So even there, it's becoming more and more that screens are just all over the place. So we have to prepare them for it. But how can parents now distinguish between healthy engagement and when it becomes problematic screen use? Are there warning signs?
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're saying so. Okay, let's hear it.
And it's about noticing. But I think, so in terms of healthy, is when screen use is intentional. So when we use it for schoolwork, when we use it for research, that becomes intentional. When it's problematic, it's when it's a compulsion. We need to check our phones the moment we wake up in the morning. Okay. When we use it to enhance our lives, watching documentaries, watching interesting things about the world, learning new things. Problematic when it becomes where it replaces important parts of your life. So instead of spending time with family, you're playing games online. And then we have where it's healthy, the child can easily stop. Put the phone down, done, no fight. Problematic. They feel incapable, unable to stop. It's a fight. It's drama. You understand.
Yes.
And then also when it's balanced within healthy routines, that's obviously way more healthy compared to where your daily functioning is compromised. Sleep is compromised. I think that's one of the biggest factors.
No, I love that word intentional. And that's what I don't know, maybe it was you who actually told me, I don't know, actually no, but someone has used this word before, and that's kind of, even with my own screen use, I have made the conscious effort to make sure that it doesn't become this dead scrolling type of thing, where it's intentional. So if I am on a screen, is it to, you know, like I said, documentary, listen to a cool podcast, those type of things, because I do think there is a lot of benefits to screen time. But in the same breath, I've also, like, if certain things on social media, because in all essence, I do also want to look at certain things on social media. So sometimes there is a little bit of dead scrolling. But if it's starting to make me feel bad about myself, I unfollow the person.
And when it starts to induce anxiety.
Yes.
So that self-reflection of I'm starting to feel anxious because I'm seeing all of these things on social media, to know, okay, I need to stop now.
Yeah. But again, like I love that word intentional. But now also one of the things that I'm wondering about, Before I ask it, I just wanted to remind everyone that you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today we're talking about screen times with Nicole van Niekerk, who's a registered counselor. Don't worry if you've missed some of the show already. It will be available as a podcast later for you to go listen to. This show and all of my shows are available as a podcast. So please do go listen to lots of the great topics that we've spoken about babies and about parenting. So please do go have a listen. I would love also to have your input. So please do remember to send me an email on yolandi@goodnightbaby.co.za. I would love to have some information on future topics that you might want on baby-related topics. On that note, as I was now mentioning to Nicole, this like gaming, she was specifically saying like, if you're taking away time gaming from your family or something like that. But now my son, because again, you had this, there's a healthy side to screens and then the problematic side, which I think is amazing to kind of distinguish between those type of things. But in this, that's now I'm trying to find what if this is a gray zone or not. But a lot of my son's time that he never almost games on his own. Never. He never, ever. He online games, also not with people that he doesn't know, with his actual friends. One of his friends actually this year went to a different school and they asked, I mean, he comes over to our house quite often and he goes to his house quite often because they're still such great friends because they connect through gaming. That feels to me intentional.
I think there's two sides to this. And I think when there is still actual physical connection, absolutely, because there's still, I want to say, an intimacy. It's an emotional intimacy and bond between
them. Not going to like that word intimacy with his friend.
No, I know. I know that the word is difficult. But to explain the actual real human connection. Whereas if you start a game with people and it's only online, you lose that actual real human connection and it becomes superficial.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also interesting for me how, a very silly example is that my children don't actually know how to talk over the phone. They're better now because I've crapped. I feel like an old lady actually when I talk to them about this. I can literally hear my own father and mother in my head while I'm having this conversation with them. Mm-hmm. But they would my children are not allowed to take their phones to school. The school has a very strict policy on cell phone use anyway, but I feel like I'm such a great logistical planner. There's very seldom that you need to, on the fly, contact me with your phone. And again, you can go to reception at the school and phone me if there is an emergency.
Absolutely.
So they have phoned me then from school. And then they would just be like, I'm not feeling well. Can you come get me? And I'm like, not, hello, mama, it is Oscar. Or hello, mama, it is Emmy. That's it. They were just like, they would not say. And I'm like, in my head, after a minute, it takes me a second, but to realize obviously who I'm talking to. But it actually does take me a minute to realize who is this weirdo phoning me and just saying, hey, I'm not feeling well or whatever. There's been other things as well. Come get me later. But literally, so intentionally, I have told them that if you answer the phone, first of all, you hello. And if you phone someone, you're like, hi, this is the person that you're talking to.
And I've seen this in my clients. They do not have the ability to communicate anymore.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get to the point at is that the way that they talk with each other and communicate, even just the fact that people can't write out actual words on WhatsApp is one of my pet peeves. And it's like, and certain words where I'm like, literally you took one letter away to make this shorter. You could not have written the love, L-U-V. It's like, you couldn't have written the word love, L-O-V-E. That was so much harder for you. So again, now I'm getting on. But again, the way that they communicate is, should we? So I definitely think there is a need, obviously, for children to physically be present with people and to have these other type of interactions. So, and I can see it in my own children, how they communicate and how there is, again, it's obviously my job as a parent to ensure that they do know how to, I guess, use a phone and to use the right etiquette and to talk to people in a polite and respectful manner.
Yes.
Because and that's the key thing, is the respect part of it, because someone else might feel disrespected if you just go into, hey, I'm sick, can you come get me? type of situation. But and that's why I feel it's also so important to have this. Yes, it should happen. It can happen in an intentional way online.
Yes.
But in the same breath, interaction in person is obviously also has a very, very important role to play.
Yeah. First prize is interaction.
Yeah, but I mean, what are the effects of excessive screen time that it can? What kind of effects can it have on a child's like mental, social, academic performance?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, we're seeing an increase in anxiety and depression. Scientists are actually seeing a change in brain chemistry on brain scans with excessive screen use. So the way they deal with their emotions, they regulate their emotions, are different. It has an impact on attention and concentration, and they have lower executive functioning, so planning. Planning out their days, when they're going to do what. And it's very similar to other addictive patterns. So they're seeing the same addictive patterns in brains of children who are addicted to screens as in people who are addicted to alcohol or drugs.
That's a little scary.
Very.
But, I mean, I'm always, when I hear things like mental health, like increase in anxiety and depression and things like that, I'm always, I believe to take it with a pinch of salt as well in some ways, because I think obviously we're diagnosing and we're we are a lot more aware of these things than what we were even 10 years ago. I mean, I still feel there's still a stigma when it comes to these type of things with depression and with anxiety, which hopefully with this show we are trying to break those stigmas. I'm definitely on the vibe for it. So I'm always a little bit, when I hear that it's increasing, I'm always just keeping that in mind as well, because again, I feel there is a need and there is a space for screens.
I think if I can give an example, just in terms of bullying. So previously bullying would happen at school, you go home and it's done.
Yeah.
Now bullying goes on.
I think it becomes even worse
and it gets
on
worse.
A screen.
So that increases, that immediately increases anxiety and depression because there's just no stop to it.
Yeah, and I think also, you're saying now no stop to it. There's also, and I preach to my children all the time, with regards to this, is that they seem to think they can do whatever they want to when it comes to social media and these type of things. And WhatsApp and all these things. I feel that they don't realize that there's consequences to what they're saying, because they're writing it on WhatsApp, they can delete it and they can take it away and just take it back, and they don't realize the consequences of what this is. And
absolutely,
one of the things I preach to my children is literally that, and I have a whole behavioral thing with this, is even for myself, I tell every single person, an adult and child that I encounter, and I remind them that your phone is not private.
Yes, absolutely.
And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, you should not have content on your phone that you don't want other people to see.
And once you put it out there, it's out there.
Yeah, and literally, I had a conversation with someone about this yesterday, where they were telling me about someone that posted something on a group that we're both part of, and we both screenshotted that person's deleted message before they deleted it.
Yeah.
And that happens.
It's there. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So And that's the thing is that, again, even for us as adults, this is a very good reminder is to, and I tell my my children, you are allowed privacy. You are allowed your private thoughts, but your phone is not the place for it. So I periodically check their phones.
Yes.
And even an example, and I'm actually not 100% sure that my daughter is going to be happy that I'm sharing this. No, but there was a situation where she and a friend had a little bit of a fight, and I saw it on WhatsApp that they had this discussion. And then I had, first of all, I wanted to keep it to myself to say, because I didn't want to invade on her space. I'm going to share more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. Today, we've been speaking about screen time and gaming addiction with our, I mean, obviously older children, but also us as parents, I guess, is something to stress about and something to keep in mind. I've said it many times, is that children mimic our behavior.
Absolutely.
So we do need to have this better kind of examples as well, that which, what do you call it, setting our children. But anyway, I was, before we went to the break, I was just sharing a story with, anyway, I read something about my daughter's interaction with her friend, and I first wanted to keep it to myself just so that she wasn't aware that I'm aware of it, because I didn't really feel it was my business. But after reflecting on it a little bit, I realized that that kind of defeats the point of what I'm trying to teach her, is the fact that if it's there, and especially if it's on WhatsApp happening, and even this friend had even made a post of it on her WhatsApp status to kind of share her angriness with Emmy. She had shared on her social or on her WhatsApp status. So I feel like there was lots of anger and things going on, and a good learning opportunity to teach both of them that it's a public platform. If I can see it, anyone can see it, and they should be comfortable for me to see it if they've shared it on a public platform. And that was kind of the learning. I was, for both Emmy and the friend, I was the bad guy, 100%. She hated me for quite some time after that. But I'm her mom, and she needs to learn. And this was luckily, it was only an angry post. It wasn't an inappropriate picture.
It could have been much worse.
It could have been much worse. And before they do things like that, that they realize with these small things, oh, okay, my mom found out about what I'd done because I had shared this on a public platform. But let's stop talking about how crappy this is and start talking about what can we do about it.
Absolutely.
So how can parents approach a child? Yeah. How can we get to this reducing screen time and social media? How can we approach this with our children?
So in an ideal world, we start early, so we don't put our two-year-olds in front of a phone. It's not a babysitter,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's in an ideal world, that's where we start. I think when we come to teenagers, it's about collaborating with them. What do they think is appropriate? What do they think is an appropriate amount of time? Mm. And also, like what you did, is actually having a discussion with her about it, because that was a learning opportunity. You saw it happen. And so not just avoiding it, but actually engaging with her about it. What you also said, and I actually wrote it down as well, it's to model what you teach. They see moms on the phone all the time, so why can't I be on the phone all the time? And I think what's also really important is for parents to provide healthy offline alternatives.
Yes.
So if we look at what social media provide, is something like regulation, stimulation, and connection. So offline alternatives for regulation would be movement and outdoor play. For stimulation, it would be healthy hobbies. So building Lego or doing art or reading. And for connection, to have family game nights or play dates or actually engaging with people in person would ultimately be the best way for parents to approach this with their teens.
Nicole, I think you've given us so much to think about today. It's been really...
Thank you.
Honestly, I've enjoyed this topic, even though it, in my head I'm already like, oh yeah, should be doing that anyway. But Nicole, as always, it was wonderful chatting with you. Yes, and if you want to find Nicole van Niekerk, she is on socials as well. What is your social media handle before you go? Let's get people on social media.
Yeah, of course, I also have social media. It's Nicole_registered counselor.
Great. Thanks, Nicole. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Bye.
On that note, as always,